Welcome to the East County Magazine Live Radio Show, the voice of East County, bringing you the hottest news and coolest events from the communities of San Diego's East County. We're your community radio, representing the public interest, not special interests. Broadcasting from the heart of East County in Descanso with your host, Miriam Raftery.
I want to welcome everybody to East County Magazine's virtual forum for Santee mayoral and city council candidates. And I really want to thank three of the four candidates for participating tonight. I'm Miriam Raftery, the editor of East County Magazine. I'll be the moderator of tonight's forum. John Sepulveda is here. He's our co-host and he will be our timekeeper. Tonight, we're pleased to welcome Santee Mayor John Minto and his opponent in the mayoral race, Councilman Stephen Houlihan. For the city council, we have Sam Hurst, a longtime teacher and researcher here. And unfortunately, her opponent, general contractor Dustin Trotter, declined to participate in the forum. He says he has a scheduling conflict. We invited him to do a separate interview on another date, and he has not responded so far. We hope he will. Anyway, we want to thank everybody here. And I also want to thank the Facebook Journalism Project. Give them a shout out for the grant supporting our series of virtual candidate forums in the COVID era when we can't do these in person. These are being live streamed for those of you watching on East County Magazine's Facebook page. We will also, if anyone has trouble viewing, we'll have video of the forum later in the next couple of days on eastcountymagazine.org and broadcast on KNSJ Radio. It may take a day or two. Sometimes Zoom takes a couple of days, you know, to process those videos, but it'll be there soon. And I especially want to thank the many members of the public out there who sent in some great questions. We're going to try to fit in as many of them as we can tonight. Each candidate will have 2 minutes for an opening statement, a one-minute closing statement, and then on the questions, we'll start with 2 minutes apiece for the answers on the questions, and toward the end, we'll move to a lightning round of one-minute responses on some of the less complicated issues facing Santee. So let's start with the opening candidates. Mayor Minto, as the incumbent mayor, let's start with you.
Well, first of all, thank you very much for inviting me to this forum. It's a great opportunity to tell the viewers about me, my accomplishments as a councilman and a mayor, and where I want to go from here. One of the first items of the business I initiated when I became the mayor of Santee was to assemble the council and all of the senior staff to work on a strategic management. The reason why I did that is because I believe that there were some great policies and procedures that needed to be changed throughout the city. Many of them had not been changed in almost 30 or 40 years. And so we got started. We created about 10 short-term and long-term goals, which was really actually quite fun. And then next thing I did is got to work with the city attorney and department heads and said, let's rewrite and update our entire municipal code and every policy and procedure that we have in this city, because once again, they were just so old. And then one of the things that I've been working on very diligently is the Highway 52, because traffic is a big concern of mine. Since I was a law enforcement officer, I did a lot that had to do with traffic. So I thought about it for long and hard and for so many years. And one night it came to me that why don't we go and try and gain the money that we can get from the state and federal government. And what I did is I created what I call my Highway 52 Coalition. And so we created that. We've been doing some work to get that taken care of. And unfortunately, COVID has slowed us down a little bit. People aren't meeting, obviously. Yeah. But some of the other things that I like to get done in a second term is to continue to make sure we have a balanced and well-rounded budget. That may require a zero-based budgeting approach. Means take it down to zero and build it up back from there. And then ensure an effective, efficient, and accountable government. That's one reason why I wanted to rewrite the policies and procedures and things of that nature, because we have to continue to be thriving in our policies. Another thing that I wanted to do is make sure that we stay viable during COVID-19. I can't talk about anything without bringing that up, because matter of fact, I just authored a letter, and I do have to admit that I had a lot of help from my staff on creating that letter, we sent that off to the governor saying that we would like to change the paradigm on how we look at businesses opening and closing, and doing it not just with a science-based approach, but also with a who's doing the right thing approach. Just because you might be doing something wrong in, let's say, Los Angeles, doesn't mean you have to shut down the same, you know, whole state of California. So I'm working on all of that to keep us moving forward. I want to work continue on smart, slow growth. I do want to make sure that this city is built out, if it's built out at all, comprehensively, and follow in many of the standard guidelines and best practices. I got to tell you that with everything that's been happening in Santee and all the things I want to do in the future for Santee, I can see that our future is bright. And I hope, I absolutely hope everyone else can see that also. So that's me in a nutshell. And thank you very much.
Very good. Stephen, let's go with you next as the other mayoral contender here.
Well, again, thank you, Miriam, for the opportunity to be here tonight. And thank you for everybody who is out there watching, because I believe that these sorts of forums are very, very important so that we can get the word out about all of the candidates for all of the various races. And so thank you for doing that. And again, my name is Stephen Houlihan. I'm a registered nurse. I have been for over 20 years, for those who may not know me that well. My background is in critical care nursing. I'm currently still working as a nurse as well as being your city councilman, and I have been since I was elected in 2016. And I'm proud to do this work. I love the city of Santee. As a city councilman, I've seen, I've been enlightened a great deal about what really happens in the political arena. And so a little more about my background. A decade ago, I discovered there was a plan for a power plant to be built right on the gateway of Santee. It was called the Quail Brush Power Plant. I was once I learned about that, I discovered that I had to become an activist and go out there and make sure this didn't happen. Now I went to the city council at the time. I just didn't feel like I didn't feel like I got the answers I wanted there at the council. So after the citizens of Save Mission Trails, for which I am the president of, after we went and defeated the power plant, then we started interacting with government on a much more often. And then we found that often there was a disconnect. There might be a disconnect between the communities and the neighborhoods. And so I was enticed to go and to continue and then to begin speaking up for the neighborhoods. And I believe that as the mayor, I will be able to represent those neighborhoods at a very, very high level. Now, as far as accomplishments, and as far as the 52 through Save Mission Trails, we did a letter writing campaign, and the 52 from Santo Road to Mass Boulevard became a scenic highway byway, and that ensured that there wouldn't be a power plant on that border. And that actually was to great benefit of every single person in Santee, because that would have decreased our property values. Now, as far as other issues, we learned about CCAs and about SDG&E and about the opportunity for economic improvements within our city. And we've tried to bring through what's called Community Choice Energy, which would bring savings to each and every individual in Santee. But it would bring a huge savings to the city of Santee itself. Unfortunately, in my first 4 years, I have not been able to make that happen. However, I guarantee in the next 4 years, I will make that happen. And that will lead to fiscal improvements to the city. And so when you do that, you can actually start working on those budget issues, because unfortunately, we do find ourselves entering a time of budget shortfalls. And so although we want to go through and look at each and every service and we want to preserve them all, we have to pay for them. And so it's really important that we be looking forward and thinking about how do we do that. And so, for instance, through the firefighters, through CSA 69, for which I am the representative of, representing the firefighter paramedics to the county, and all these various things, bringing money in through other means, through the San Diego River Conservancy, for which I met with today, to complete the San Diego River Trail through Santee, working with the Mission Trails Task Force and also the Gooden Ranch Advisory Committee. So when a natural gas pipeline was planned to go through Santee that probably nobody here even knows about, I launched into action. My wife and I drove to Bonzel, and when we met with the CPUC, we told them, absolutely don't think about sending this through Santee. It was a boondoggle, very much the same as Quail Brush. So again, that's what I have to offer, leadership for Santee. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Stephen. And Samantha Hurst, candidate for City Council next. Let's hear from you.
Thank you, Miriam. I really appreciate the invitation and the opportunity to be here. I'm very excited about this chance to speak to our voters and in many cases introduce myself to those of you who do not know me. I've been involved in public service throughout my life, both at the community level and at the university level. I've served on the City of San Diego Human Relations Commission, and I also chaired our subcommittee on human sex trafficking and child exploitation. I was selected last year, actually, as a member of the FBI Citizens Academy, which was a great deal of fun and worth all the learning. And I continue to be active on the FBI Academy alumni. I'm a member of the Santee Historical Society and a proud member also of the Santee Collaborative. I also want to say that I'm very proud to work in public health at UCSD. And I'd like to, if you permit me, just to give a shout out to my students who are listening and also to give a shout out to all the students who are working desperately hard and doing a terrific job with their education during this COVID quarantine. It is not easy for them, and I am very empathetic to their cause. My priorities in my campaign are, number one, determining practical and feasible ways to reduce traffic gridlock, prohibit irresponsible high-density development, particularly in our back countries that are vulnerable for fire, and on the Carlton Oaks Golf Course, which suffers from flooding during rainy months. I'm also extremely interested in strengthening our city's economy by encouraging consumers to purchase locally, to be active locally, and to give our Santee businesses the boost and support that they need right now. I'm interested in preserving open spaces and natural environment, which is the reason why people come to Santee to spend time and to raise their family here. And last, I'd like to say that I've also pledged not to take any special interest money for my campaign. Voters have the right to expect that their council member is someone with full integrity and someone who is fully working on their behalf. So my campaign is a grassroots campaign. And in the sense, in the spirit of grassroots, my vision for Santee is to help create an atmosphere that feels like everyone's neighborhood, where everyone is welcomed and everyone is included. Thank you.
Santee was facing budget issues, looking at dipping into the reserves even before the pandemic hit. And of course, now the pandemic has made that more serious. What ideas do each of you have for raising revenues and bringing new business to the city? And I'd also like to ask, if there is a new round of CARES Act funding, what would your priorities be for how to distribute that? Excuse me, I'm just going to close my door to get rid of some of these distractions.
The modern world. You can go ahead and begin.
All right. Well, I just wanted to give her a chance to listen. So I know we're in the modern world, but and I appreciate the opportunity to speak. In regards to our pending financial issues in Santee, we were headed towards economic hardship for quite some time, even before I was on the council. Looking at budget trajectories, probably going back at least a decade, Santee was really headed for, going into budgetary spend or deficit spending about in the year 2021, 2022. And what's happened now is COVID has accelerated this reality. Last year or early last fiscal year, we were looking at our budget for fiscal 2020, 2021. And we had done projections, including potential deficit, recession. And so what had happened was now we're in that, basically in that recession. And so we will likely accelerate that curve into deficit spending. Now, the city of Santee has an excellent credit rating and has always kept a large reserve. And so it's part of our charter to keep 20% of our budget on reserve. So we need to continue to guard that credit rating. So one of the first things we need to do is we need to restructure our debt. A large portion of our debt is in CalPERS debt, and it's very high interest rate debt. And so right now, when you borrow, you're getting very good interest rates. And so one of the first priorities that I want to set forward is we need to look at what we owe, and we have to look at how do we restructure that debt. Now, we've been paying down our debt in a very conservative manner, which is excellent. However, we can do more. Now, I discussed the CCA concept. And so when we look at the city of Santee, it's a $40 million a year expense and about $40 million coming in each year. However, with a CCA, we could likely save upwards of $1.2 million a year through savings in our fossil fuel budget, which is upwards of $600,000 for just moving vehicles, as well as looking at all the street lights and everything else. It all has to be powered. So again, there's another $600,000 likely there of efficiencies. So of the $8 million that's going towards that, to that part of the budget, we can save 10% right there with CCA, and we could get started as soon as I'm in as the mayor.
And Stephen, thank you so much for that. And I apologize so much for interrupting, but we were a minute over. So I'm going to remind everyone, please, if you could check the chat, and I will give you a signal when there's 15 seconds. And just for the sake of fairness, for the rest of these questions, I'm going to allow 3 minutes for candidates.
Okay. All right. Okay. If you need it, and if you can do it in less, more power to you. Okay. Go ahead. Let's see. I believe Sam, I think you're next.
Okay.
All right.
Well, yeah. I'd just like to say that I'm looking forward to working with city staff to explore some of the potentials that we clearly need to address in putting our fiscal house back into order. I think there's a lot of careful thinking about infrastructure expenditures. Stephen's alluded to many of them already that are very important in the consideration. Between COVID and the CalPERS debt, we really need to find the means to restructure that debt at a much lower interest rate. The question is how, and that will be part of the process I will be learning when I'm elected. We also need to increase our efficiencies, as Stephen talked about, and think about the delivery networks that provide us with power, heat, light, water, and telecommunication. This approach would help us achieve the standards that are set for us with the Santee Sustainability Climate Action Plan as well. I agree with Stephen about changing to community choice energy. It does bring additional revenue to our city, and it provides people with efficient and cost-saving energy conversions. I'd also like to introduce the idea that is not really being introduced as novel, but looking into more ways to make use of solar. I have solar panels on my home and could have never imagined the efficiencies they have brought to me and the reduced costs for my electric bill. So possibly we could look at various buildings, the city hall, other buildings within our civic structure, and start thinking about where we can begin solarizing. I'd also like to be able to do some exploration into federal grants and state grants to assist households who are also hoping to put solar on their homes and really work on their behalf to experience the same benefits.
Very good. Okay, and Mayor Minto, how would you address the budget issues and raise revenues for the city?
Well, let me start off by saying that every community throughout this state and actually across the country has suffered in some way from the economy. And the pandemic has certainly made it even worse. However, I can tell you that in the first quarter of 2020, Santee sales tax was about 5% higher than any other in the state, okay, or in the county. The second quarter of sales tax is looking very strong also. We just don't know enough about the third quarter to say how this year is going to end up. However, I can tell you that the property tax is also extremely strong in Santee. So we are actually making our budget easily. It's not all gloom and doom. And when I talked about zero-based budgeting, we've done this from time to time in Santee. And what you do is you take each department and you put in the things that you absolutely have to have. You have to have fire, you have to have law enforcement, and you certainly have to have other types of government infrastructure. Once those are paid for, then you can go department to department and find out everything to, do we buy too many paper clips or do we pay too much for gasoline on motor vehicles? And as far as making things work with the CCA, you know, I started researching those originally back in 2012. As a matter of fact, I actually did some videos. I sat down with the Sierra Club and I looked into Marin County, who was one of the leaders in CCAs throughout the state. Matter of fact, they're the only one in the state at that time. So what happened, though, is they were struggling like everything else that gets off the ground. The first person or the first entity always struggles. So what Santee did is we said, we're going to take another look at this later on. So we, through several years now, have been taking a look at this. When 5 years ago, we started looking at CCAs. As a matter of fact, I sat down with the mayor of San Diego and people and electeds from La Mesa. And we talked about their CCA. And we found out that it was just like the SANDAG organization. It wanted to have total control with a weighted vote, which means that even though we would maybe make money off of this and help with putting solar on our community buildings or buying solar vehicles or electric vehicles, you know what? We would never get the money because that would be siphoned off by these other larger groups. And the same thing happened when we look at Carlsbad. I sat down with the city manager, who is a longtime friend of mine by the name of Scott Chadwick.
And we are at time. I'm sorry.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Okay. Let's see. Next question. I've lost track. I think, is this Sam's turn to go first?
Yes.
Okay. Very good. Wildfires have burned more acres in California so far than ever before, 3 million acres as of today. And a fire just today prompted evacuation of homes in Santee. Thankfully, the firefighters did a great job and got that out, but after it burned 4 acres. But HomeFed, the developer of the Finita Ranch large-scale housing project, just recently announced they want to remove the Magnolia extension from that proposal. Supposedly it was to avoid having to have another councilman who lives nearby recused from voting. But that's a major wildfire evacuation route. And although they're talking about putting more money into widening 52 instead, people still have to get to 52. And of course, it could be blocked by a fire someday too. So alternative routes are important to save lives. Now, our region does have a housing shortage. And safety and open space are also important to many people in Santee. So how do you believe, each of you, that housing needs should be met in Santee? And should Finita Ranch, at minimum, go back for a new environmental review since they want to take out the Magnolia extension? Or should it wait until the voters weigh in if Proposition N passes, which is the measure on the ballot that would let the people vote on projects that exceed what the general plan allows. Sam, you're first.
Sure. There's a lot of moving parts to that question.
I'm trying to combine some of these. So many people sent them in, and I'm trying to fit in as many points as I can on these. Okay.
Well, I'll do my best in 2 minutes. I'm going to start with Finita Ranch. I've been very public about my opposition to this particular project. I've submitted several letters to the mayor and to the council during council meetings about this disapproval that I feel. I was one of the many Santee citizens who also sent a letter in response to the draft EIR. And I'm greatly concerned about this latest modification of dropping the Magnolia Avenue extension. I almost feel as if it's a bit of gaslighting on the residents. I don't understand why suddenly a third exit or access area is no longer important to the original plan for evacuation. I don't understand what the legality is behind Councilmember McNellis not being able to take the vote, and that has never been publicly and properly explained to the citizens, and I think we'd really like to know that particular answer. I for one feel that if the Magnolia extension is to be removed, then we might really need to go back and do another circulation of the EIR and make certain that there are no other mitigation problems that could occur because that particular exit road will not be in service for the evacuation plans. And that leads me quickly, because I'm certain I'm really running out of time. I'm worried, I'm very worried about the evacuation plans out of Finita Ranch. And those have never been properly delineated and brought to the public. So I have a lot of questions and I want a lot of answers.
Okay. Let's see. I believe Mayor Minto, you're next.
Well, thanks. Let me tell you that I was absolutely floored when I heard about this conflict of interest, because my thought is, okay, they've been working on this for about 5 years. We have all these experts that are supposed to be involved, whether they're planners, civil engineers, or lawyers. And you tell me in the 11th hour now that we have a conflict of interest with one of our council members? I mean, rhetorically, I have to say, are you kidding me? So here's the thing. Legally, they're the applicant. They could do whatever they want. They can make whatever they changes they are. Now, we know that in the beginning that this wasn't something that was required to go through. They wanted to do something good for the community and said, okay, we'll put this road through. Well, I don't necessarily think it's a good thing they take it back. There's also a place on the northeast corner where we can actually put a through road in between Harbison Canyon and Santee. But that was blocked by the county supervisor. They didn't want us going into their city. But I'm saying that if you want to get people in and out of where there could be fire danger, what a great place to do it. We know 67 is impacted many times, just like 52 is impacted. So my goodness, let's do what we can to make every route possible that we can. Now, you know what? We have lawyers that are looking at this, and they're telling us whether or not they have to have the CIR recirculated or otherwise. And, you know, as a mayor, I'm bound by the law. I can't make decisions without seeing the evidence and hearing the testimony. Because if I do, it would be just like me going into traffic court and having the judge say, bring that guilty guy in here. Already made up a mind. Lawsuits been filed against cities where people have already made up their mind, either in opposition or support, and it's been overturned by the courts, and they had to go back and do it all over again to an extremely great cost to the cities. And I don't want that to happen here.
Okay, thank you. Councilman Houlihan, let's hear your thoughts on Finita Ranch.
Well, as Mayor Minto said, as a council member nor a mayor can say whether they are in favor or against a application as it comes before them. However, I do have concerns about fire in regards to any development that goes into what I consider the wilderness, which there's many of, and around the East County. And right now with the Valley Fire, it's a massive, massive fire, and there's been life is lost and structures burned. So I have concerns about fire. I have concerns about traffic, evacuation routes, absolute concerns. Also, I have concerns about what's gonna happen on the 52. So there's going to be a great deal of traffic, regardless, through the 52, through Santee. And so I've always wondered, can our infrastructure really handle, you know, this influx of potentially upwards of 10% of our population? And so between the fire concerns, the traffic concerns, and now the loss of the Magnolia extension, I believe that it you know, we need to take a really a long, deep look, whether it be lawyers, council members, and the citizens of Santee. And by all means, we need to take and reevaluate the entire process and reevaluate Finita Ranch based on this change.
Okay, thank you very much. The next question, campaign contributions has become an issue in this race. Thousands of dollars in campaign contributions from developers, PACs, and others directly tied to either Finita Ranch or the redevelopment of the Carlton Oaks Country Club site have flowed into some of the city council members and mayoral campaigns, and including Mary Minter and Dustin Trotter, of those that are running for election or re-election. The environmental group Preserve Wild Santee has been circulating a flowchart of what it claims is money laundering. Regardless of whether these recent donations are legal or not, and we should stress that, you know, I think that a lot of that depends on timing from when a donation is made until when a vote is actually taken. So nobody's really saying this is not legal. But what I would like to ask is, do each of you think it's appropriate for candidates or elected officials to take donations from developers who have projects before that governing body? And what would you say to those who are concerned about the appearance, at least, of a potential conflict of interest on some of these projects?
The question is to the mayor.
Oh, I'm sorry. Mayor, you're first.
Great. Well, thanks. That's a great question. People ask that a lot. People make allegations that there's a wrongdoing, and there's not. Quite frankly, if we wanted to look at what is legal, what is ethical, what is moral, we could say that you shouldn't take any campaign money from anybody. That means, for instance, if you're a environmental organization and you want to support somebody who is sympathetic toward environmental concerns, well, if that candidate takes money from them, then does the same idea apply, that they are doing something unethical? Are they doing something wrong? The answer is absolutely not. Just like anybody that takes money from any entity. And by the way, in Santee, it's illegal to take money from developers. Now, you can take money from somebody who works for a development corporation. You know, I've got some friends that are in that business. So does that mean that they shouldn't be able to help me out because they've been my friends for 30 years? Probably not. And I can tell you, as far as whether or not you trust me to do the right thing, I think I have a track record of doing absolutely the right thing. I've sent developments back to the drawing board when they've come before me, even if I had taken a campaign contribution from someone in that corporation years before that. So I can tell you right now that you can actually trust that I'm going to follow the law. 30 years as a police officer, I always followed the law, and I'm not going to change it now just because of the mayor. I actually rose my hand and said, I'm going to, you know, support the Constitution of the United States and the Constitution of California. I've never wavered from that. But if any one of these candidates want to take a legitimate, lawful contribution from an individual, I absolutely support their right to do that. Don't tell me, though, that I'm doing something wrong because because I followed the law.
Okay, we appreciate you coming on and addressing that, Mayor Minto. I believe, let's see, who was next?
Stephen,
it's your turn.
Well, I really appreciate the opportunity to address this question, and I got to say, I have to disagree completely. I have never taken money from developers, and I believe that that is actually important, really important, especially when there is a project before the council, because it just, whether it skews your view or not, it just is very, very bad optics. And so, for instance, with Finita Ranch, with that project before the council, I believe that no council member nor the mayor should take a donation from them, and which they can't legally. However, you can take you can actually take a donation from, say, the general manager or the project manager. I believe that that has very, very bad optics, and especially with the timing. So when I went to the very first class, when I learned about these issues, you're only supposed to take about $250, and it should be it shouldn't be after the plan is before the council. So again, there's rules. And so it's not a matter of, you know, necessarily going to jail. It's just, it's immoral and unethical at some point when you start bending the rules. Now, maybe you get money from a different developer who gives it to you the right time, or maybe the money goes to some sort of super PAC. But again, it just seems like with these 460 forms, you can follow the money.
So does that mean that I shouldn't vote on something because I did have a contribution from someone from that company?
I guess if we're going to open up the for discussion, I believe that there are there is a framework set forth by the FPPC that has certain limits. Those limits can be are different than the city of Santee's limits. There's timing that's very important. And so when we take, if we chose to legally take those contributions, it can be very bad optics, as well as there is the possibility of a timing issue. And so we should be very, very careful. Anybody who chooses to run for council or for mayor should be very careful about who they're taking money from and how they take that money. Absolutely.
I want to remind everyone, too, that we are at time, and also to go to Ms. Hurst, who has not been able to talk with that back and forth. Ms. Hurst.
Go ahead, Sam.
Well, thank you for being able to make a few comments. I probably feel even more strongly than Stephen. In my work as a researcher, I am obligated to sign a conflict of interest contract every time I receive grant money for my salary. It is an in-depth 3-page contract that eliminates any possibility that my participation on a study would in any way be influenced because my financial activity or my family's financial activity is in any way involved with the company that's sponsoring the grant. I think those standards should apply to our civic leaders. They apply to professional researchers at universities. I don't understand why they can't apply to our civic leaders. And as a resident, even though I'm a resident and now a candidate, I'd really like to see us reach that optimum. I like the residents of my district in District 4 to know that I will take no special interest money. I am not going to muddy the water and create an issue for my residents to know what level of integrity I have, how far they can trust me, who I know that they may disapprove of. I'm going to try to do the right thing. I do the right thing in research. I do the right thing at the university. I'd like us to do the right thing as an elected official.
Great. Let's move on to another important issue that's was on the minds of many of the people who sent in questions. Racial tensions have been heightened in Santee recently, where we saw, unfortunately, some shoppers wearing KKK and swastika masks in grocery stores. And beyond that, protests over racial justice in policing, which also drew groups such as Defend East County. That's a group that announced it was intended to protect businesses against looting like La Mesa had, which, of course, no one wants. But it also attracted people who shouted racial slurs, made threats, including, you know, some physical altercations and violence. And we had several minority residents email us to say this has made them feel unsafe in Santee. They feel law enforcement has turned a blind eye to some of these attacks. What meaningful steps do each of you believe should be taken to address racial intolerance and reduce racial tensions in Santee? And specifically, can you comment on what your views are on Defend East County, which we might add Dustin Trotter, who isn't here tonight, is a self-described co-founder, active member of. And let's see. Steven. Councilman Houlihan, we'll start with you on this one.
Absolutely. And thank you for this question. Well, I've said it before and I'll say it again. I denounce racism. I denounce the symbols of hatred. I denounce the symbols that include the Nazi swastikas that were worn at Food for Less. I denounce the KKK and the hood that was worn at Vons. This is completely inappropriate in our city. It's a terrible thing when everyone around the nation knows Santee for these instances. It's absolutely not acceptable. Now, we have a body called the COMPOC that should be addressing these issues. And unfortunately, that body, that's Community-Oriented Policing Committee, has been paralyzed to do anything and to take the steps that have been authorized by the city council when we denounced racism as a city council. And so that gives the appearance that we have not been moving forward. So I'm very disappointed. And so once I am the mayor, I want to seize control of what's going on at COMPOC. And I believe that one of the members of the organization you just said, who should be here tonight, he's a member of COMPOC and he is not representing himself very well tonight. So again, this is inappropriate. I denounce racism. I denounce any sort of vigilantism as well. I believe in the First Amendment. You have the right to speech. You have the right to express yourself, even unfortunately if it's hate speech. So we have to learn to get along and accept each other's hate speech. But I also respect the Second Amendment. However, it ends at your front door unless you have some sort of special permit. Absolutely. You can't go out as a vigilante and start doing the job of our excellent law enforcement officers. Now we need to hold them accountable as well, and we need to do more public outreach. So as your mayor, I'm going to continue with the public outreach that I have done with law enforcement. It is really that important. That's why people will want to do business in Santee. They want to feel safe. They don't want to see people with KKK hoods. They don't want to see Nazi swastikas. No racism, no vigilanteism, acceptance. Let's all get along and let's get through this time together.
Thank you, Councilman. Ms. Hurst, your turn.
Thank you. I'd like to bring up just a couple other pieces in addition to some of the things that Stephen talked about. When the two incidents happened, there were two very clear reactions that bothered me distinctly. One was that I had many friends in this community that suffered the re-experiencing or re-triggering of events that had happened in their life where they had experienced prejudice and bias and violence. And it was heartbreaking to me to see fear in my fellow neighbors, people who had lived here for quite some time, who now suddenly did not feel safe, but more importantly, they didn't feel protected. The other reaction that I felt I saw very keenly was a resistance or a defensiveness that many of the other members of Santee in total were unable and unwilling to take a reflective look at their own behavior and their own belief systems, and to even think about whether or not their actions, the words they choose, even if they're accidental implicit bias. People were resistant to take any blame or any step forward for a considerable period of time. And that's not something I can approve or appreciate. We need to have the hard talk together. And we need to all be vulnerable in that hard talk and learn what is painful for others and how we support people. Because this city needs to be much more inclusive than it is at this moment. I only want to mention COMPOC briefly, because what I really want to talk about is the Human Relations Commission that I know was established here in 2001. It troubles me that commission, which is always an important commission in every city, somehow got absorbed in COMPOC. And I don't know why, because typically those are two very different bodies of observation and advice. And I would like to ask our mayor now and possibly our new mayor in the future, I would just like to suggest to both of you that I believe a human relations commission is necessary, because that human relations commission can reflect the type of representation that people in Santee are crying for. Without representation, we will never have inclusivity. Never. We will never understand each other. We will never value each other. And we will never respect one another. So I hope you will both take a look at how that can come to be. Thank you.
Okay. Mayor Minto, we'll let you have the last word on this issue.
Well, thank you. I do have to tell you that, Sam, you've made some very good points here tonight. And I think I made it very clear from the very first incident that I did not believe that what happened was representative of all of Santee. However, we have had our issues and we have to continue to look. One thing that I've also made clear is that somewhere along the line, there was a decision to have that committee go away. And that was made by many of the people that were on the committee, because I remember the discussion and they were like, well, we haven't done anything. We haven't had any complaints. And quite frankly, what I think happened is many of the people that were involved became complacent. It's like, you know, you haven't stubbed your toe in a long time, so why do I now need to wear shoes? Well, you're eventually going to stub your toe again, so you have to be prepared. And so what I did is I brought some new people onto the Compact Committee so that they would be people that were representative of color and other backgrounds.
Wait, is that Compact? Is that Citizens Oversight?
It's a community-oriented policing committee.
Okay.
So we've had many, many discussions, and what we've found is that it's not the right place for it. Because it is a too broad of a committee to look at too many things. So Monday is our first our meeting this month, and I will be unveiling some new procedures, some new ideas, and one of those is that we're going to separate those committees.
Nice.
So you're very much on track with what you're talking about there. But as far as what Stephen said, that it hasn't done anything, it's only because Stephen hasn't been there to hear what the conversation is. You know, Stephen's a member of this city council. He could call me and say, Mayor, I've got some ideas. But he has failed to do that. He's failed to do that for the last 3 years. When I call him from time to time, say, Stephen, is there anything you want to work on? Can I help you? He says, no, everything's just fine. So, Stephen, another invitation. I want to hear what your ideas are. Come to me and let's talk about them and let's implement them when we can and where we can.
Okay. We're going to go on to closing statements now, and we're going to go in. I think Mayor Minto went first before, so we'll let you have the last word on the closing statements. Stephen, why don't you give us your closing minute of why you believe you should be the next mayor of Santee?
I believe I should be the next mayor of Santee because I absolutely love Santee. I have spent countless hours volunteering my time, whether it be at Mission Trails, as a coach at AYSO, or at the Little League. I'm part of many boards and committees, and I really have my finger on the pulse of the community. My motto is neighborhoods first, and that is my pledge to the community. The neighborhoods of Santee, that is what makes Santee great. It's our neighborhoods. That's why everyone wants to be here. And so, as your mayor, I'm going to make sure that we grow the city appropriately and we do it in such a way that we don't overwhelm the infrastructure. We need infrastructural improvement before we do anything too major to change right now, because as soon as COVID starts to rear its ugly head and we all start going to work, we'll all be back in that same traffic jam that we were in. And the very small amounts of money that are available to us aren't going to be the big fix that everyone dreams of. So again, there's going to be a lot of work that must occur. The city of Santee is a beautiful place. We're going to have a river trail that leads from one end to the other. I was at this River Conservancy meeting today, and although Sandag may not help us with the freeway, we're going to put a trail from one side of the city to the other. So we're going to fight for every little bit of scrap that we can. And I want to lead that charge straight to Sandag, where we can start a new beginning with new leadership And then we can have new representation, because obviously whatever's happening there is broken. And so I want to be that guy. I want to be your representative. I want to go in and negotiate. I want to take the same can-do attitude that stopped the power plant to do what needs to be done to save Santee. Santee is a very wonderful place, and we have such amazing potential. So thank you for the opportunity to be here tonight.
Very good. You're welcome. Thank you, Stephen. Samantha, let's hear your closing statements from our one and only city council candidate that's here tonight.
Okay. Well, thank you so much. I do believe that I'm the best candidate for council member in District 4, because it is important to me to listen to all of my neighbors, no matter how different their views may be from mine. As an elected official, my job is to take care of their needs, to use their voice, to lift their voice, and to bring that voice to city council when decisions are made. I don't believe that my purpose as a city council member is to rely on my own intuition entirely, or to rely on my own experience entirely. So much of what I try to do during my campaign thus far is listen. I spend a lot of time on the phone. When I'm lucky enough to deliver lawn signs, I get the chance to talk to my neighbors, and that completely delights me. But I want to close, if you'll indulge me, with just one quick little story that I think is probably the key to who I am. In 1918, my great-grandmother, Sadie Dotson Hurst, made history by becoming the very first woman ever elected to the Nevada legislature. She ran as a Republican, but in 1918, being a Republican was a reformer. When legislature met again for a special session in February 1919 to ratify the federal suffrage amendment, it was my Sadie who authored, promoted, and presented that resolution. She had the further distinction of being the only woman in the nation to preside over a state legislature during the ratification of the federal suffrage amendment. I am so proud to know that tenacity and that clarity of thought is in my DNA. So my campaign is dedicated to her, and it's dedicated to all the wonderful people who live in District 4. Thank you.
Okay. Well, that is a tough story to top, but John, we're going to let you try. Our Mayor Minto, you can have the final word tonight on the closing comments in our forum.
Well, thank you very much. Like Stephen, I too love Santee very much. I came here originally in 1992, bought a house here with my wife as an investment. Little did we know that we would actually fall in love with this town and never want to leave. A few years ago, we bought a second house, and we completely remodeled it, knowing this will be the house that we are taken out of, probably in a different form than feet first. And so that's been my commitment to Santee, is to live here for the rest of my life. I've been your council member for 14 years and your mayor for 4 years. I did this, and at this time I garnered extensive skills and knowledges necessary to be in the best position of mayor. I like the way Stephen says about going down there and beating the heck out of Sandag, because I do that every other week after week. Something that he doesn't know is that 16 other mayors in the county of San Diego beat up 5 other mayors in San Diego County and still lose because of the way the state legislature created the voting system at Sandag. So we're not going to be able to make more headway there until we elect people to the state legislature that is willing to change that. So that would be my challenge to you, Stephen, if you do get elected mayor, is to get those people out of state office so that we can change that law. You know, traffic mitigation is one of my top priorities. Within the city of Santee and on Highway 52, and like I said before, I created that Highway 52 coalition. It didn't take anybody to inspire me to do that. No one else worked on this but myself. until I went to the city manager, city attorney, and then to some other people that could help, like the finance manager. I put my own hard-earned dollars into it, not money from any campaign account or any other business account, but out of my own money. And my wife was willing to go along with that because she too believes that we need to make this right for the people traveling on Highway 52. I'm a lucky man. I don't have to drive that every day and haven't had to since 2009 when I retired. So I consider myself lucky, but I have a great amount of empathy for those who do. Now, during this COVID-19, I made a priority taking care of the people who needed help the most. And that was our most vulnerable, our seniors. I joined with the Lantern Crest Foundation and two local restaurants to provide 65 hot meals a week for 9 weeks to seniors. And that was only because the money ran out. Today, my wife and I, we cook in our own kitchen and take it to people who ask to have a lunch. I think that's pretty commendable, even though I don't need any accommodation. I do it out of the goodness of my heart, not because I want recognition. I was told the other day that I'm a terrible politician because I don't talk about all the things I do, where other politicians talk about everything they do and have done nothing. I also purchased out of my own pocket 400 masks for people in the senior parks, so that they could get around, because I believe in masks also, Sam, because I agree with you. Now, under my leadership, we have done well in our budget. A 5.7% increase in sales tax revenue in the first quarter of 2020, compared to a 4% decrease countywide and a 3% decrease statewide. When people said, we're not going to have any Independence Day celebration, no fireworks, no gatherings, I worked with the city manager to make sure that we did get an Independence Day celebration. We ended up having them in two spots. And you know what? We didn't cancel our 4th of July because Independence Day is just as important today as it ever was. So I'm qualified to address all the issues facing Santee, from people to parks, to roads, to revenue. Once again, I see an even brighter future for Santee. Your vote for me will ensure the most experienced candidate working to keep Santee first. Santee first, not just neighborhoods. Thank you very much for your time tonight. Thank you for everyone for tuning in. And Miriam, thank you very much for having me here tonight and hearing what I have to say. One thing that you can always count on is I'm going to tell you the truth, whether you like it or not.
Very good. I want to really thank all three of you for caring enough to come out and field the question from the voters and let people see. In these times, it's hard with COVID. The candidates can't go door to door. They can't get out and do those live forums. So we felt it was really important to bring the candidates to you folks in your living rooms or your bedrooms or wherever you're watching this right now. It's obvious we have three people running that have a lot of commitment and passion and energy and ideas. And so we wish all of you well. And we will be posting the video here on our site, the full video at eastcountymagazine.org. We will also be airing a slightly trimmed version on the radio. We only have an hour for the show, so we will have to trim a couple of questions for the radio version. And I also, most of all, want to thank the public, all of the people that sent in the many wonderful questions. And if folks aren't yet registered to vote or you're not sure if you're registered, you can go to sdvote.com to find out or to get registered. Thanks so much for joining us on the East County Magazine Candidate Forum. And thanks to Facebook for sponsoring it for us, for the Facebook Journalism Project.